Pull up a seat and listen to our fable. We welcome all who sit at our table. Let's enjoy our caffeinated delight, for we are all monsters on the darkest of nights.
Hello all monsters, welcome to Caffeinated Monsters, your bi-weekly comedy horror podcast. I am Faith, your host, and we have Leanna today.
Hello!
Hello again.
It's been a hot minute. I'm glad to be back.
Almost feels like a whole year has gone. Ha ha.
Oh.
That was a terrible joke.
I know. It was cheesy. It was cheesy, but you know, I pulled the same thing New Year's Eve. I said, oh yeah, I'll do the washing up next year. And my mum just looked at me with the most blank expression on her face and then laughed. Yeah, I did pull a dad joke that was terrible.
Terrible but funny.
Terrible, but I couldn't help myself. I feel like every year as I get older, the jokes just get worse. Just get worse. And you know that they're terrible. Therefore, you find it quite amusing to, you know, keep saying it. Just do more of them. You're like, this is terrible. This is making people cringe. But I'm enjoying the pure fact that it's making them cringe, I think. Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm waffling on.
It's what we do here.
It's what I do. What I do. It's just a way of life now.
Yeah, this week's episode, we talk about horror movies of 2021. The good, the bad, and the damn right ugly ones.
In my opinion, just, 99% of everything that was released in 2021. I feel it was a terrible year for horror movies. My personal opinion.
Well, some were good, but some of them lacked, like, imagination in terms of story.
Yeah, we're just seeing repeat offenders, aren't we? You know, with Candyman, Halloween Kills. I mean, there's a lot of people, you know, what enjoyed Halloween Kills, but, you know, it's, we've seen a fair few Halloweens now.
God, did you see all the Halloween memes that popped up after that film was released? Of everyone just saying, Halloween dies tonight. And it's like, oh, God.
I saw a lot of Michael Myers memes. Mostly Michael Myers and Mike Myers were people getting them confused as kids. But you also had they redid Wrong Turn, didn't they?
I wasn't Halloween Dies Tonight. It was Evil Dies Tonight. Bollocks.
Evil Dies Tonight. Oh, and that, now you're saying Evil Dies Yet. Actually, I have seen that meme. I have. So many times. And I was just like, oh, okay, that's not that funny, but okay. I was just like, you can't. I know they say that in the movie, but you can't kill Michael Myers. It doesn't work, but okay. But yeah, they've redone, you know, Wrong Turn.
It's no longer that sort of like cheap, campy sort of humour in it now. It was a bit more serious this time around.
Yeah, but the thing is, we know what's going to happen, so what's the point? What's the point? You know, the camp humour kind of in the original Wrong Turn movies is just like, that's what, you know, what made them different and entertaining. But what they've done now is, oh, we're just going to remake it, make it, you know, more modern, more expensive. But, you know, we're just going to have that campiness in it. But, you're going to have to cut that because the fucking bunnies are running around. I don't know if you can hear. And I kind of just got sidetracked.
Yeah. Oh, I couldn't hear them. Yes, by the way, listeners, Leanna does have some pet bunnies. So if you do hear a bit of scratching, it's just them in the cage.
Running around. They're doing parkour right now. Doing parkour. But yeah, I'm at, like, what's the point of just making it, you know, better quality in a sense of production quality. I feel like that's all they're doing. They're not changing the quality of the story. They're not, you know, they're not bringing nothing new except for technology. I feel like that's all they're bringing. I'm like, what's the point then? We've already got the Wrong Turn movies. Why? Why? We already know what happens, so why? Why do it? And then you have films like A Quiet Place Part 2. And I'm like, really? I'm just like, I don't feel like A Quiet Place was that well received. So I don't understand why there's a Part 2. I don't remember, you know, the first one being that well received to, you know, to bring out a second part to it. I'm like, that film, it was just like,
I thought a lot of people liked the first one.
Yeah, they liked it, but I'm not saying people didn't like it. I'm just saying it was kind of overhyped since people saw it and they were like, oh, okay, it was a decent film. Film. You know, it was a decent film, but I'm just like, okay, it was hyped up from the trailer. They put the best bits in the trailer, of course. You know, and it's just like loads of people finally went to see it, and it's like, okay, the film, it was okay. You know, it wasn't great, wasn't terrible, it was okay. But I'm just like, well, if it was just, you know, not that great, why did they think, you know what we need to do? We really need to do a part two for people that, you know, didn't ask for it. Like, who asked for this? That's what I'd like to know, is who asked for part two? So I don't feel like people are like, we really need, you know, a second movie. We really, really need this. I'm like, no one asked for that. I feel like it was already planned to bring out, and I'm just like, they should have just cut production. They were just like, nope. The film, first one, it did okay, but yet. And I don't know anyone what saw the second one. I really don't. I don't actually know anyone who went, you know what, I'm going to go to the cinema and I'm going to watch A Quiet Place 2. And I don't know if it was being screened at the cinema when it did come out. I know that a lot of stuff was on HBO Max, I think it is, HBO Max?
Yeah.
In America. But here, our cinemas, you know, were open for a lot of films. And, you know, so many people weren't that interested in horror films this year. You know, the big films were all mostly Marvel movies people were excited about. They're excited about Disney and Marvel at the moment. And I feel it's because there's nothing really eye-catching. I mean, when I say, I'm still stuck in 2021 because, you know, it's only the beginning of January. But from, you know, from last year, which wasn't that long ago, you know, from last year, nothing really, I feel like, nothing really got people really hyped up. I mean, The Candyman, I mean, it had obviously these, you know, people talking, you know, great conversation pieces, you know, oh, they're doing a new movie, you know, should they be doing it? Should they have left it alone? With Candyman. I mean, at first, I was very much like, oh, yeah, you know, I want to see this film. But I realised, you know, that you could figure the story out from the trailer. But with that, if I can figure the story out, like the whole plot of it from the trailer, is it worth paying money to see? That's what I had to ask. And I thought, no, I'm not gonna pay. I know I love Candyman as a kid because it scared the crap out of me. And, you know, it's quite iconic. But just because of that, I'm not going to pay ridiculous money and pay, you know, ridiculous prices for, you know, concession stand popcorn and drinks and sweets for a film that's probably going to be quite boring. I don't know if you've seen it.
I've seen most of it, but it just kind of... I mean, I like the style of it. I like some of the characters, but I don't like how it's kind of... Like, you can kind of see where it's going very quickly.
And that, for I think, for a lot of horror fans, if you can just figure it out too quickly, you're just like... I feel like you switch off and you don't pay attention. That's what I think. Because I've seen, say, Spiral from the Spiral, the Book of Saw. I figured a lot of, you know, a lot of that out quite early on. And I didn't even get to that point where I was like, oh, yes, I was right. I was just like, oh, God, I wasted my time. As someone has watched all the Saw films and I've watched the Jigsaw movie, you know, and I have all of these kind of films on DVD. I watched it and I was just like, I figured this out. I've never been able to figure any of the other films out. I figured this out so quickly. I was like, that, it was so predictable that I just thought, oh, you know, that's a real shame. It's a real shame for someone like me to be able to figure it out. I was like, these films, they're normally really complicated. You know, they really do fuck with your head where you think, oh, yeah, this, you know, this is the mastermind. No, you're wrong. But, you know, with Spiral, it was so easy to figure out. I guarantee to anyone who watches it, they will figure out who's essentially playing they're not Jigsaw, but who's playing, you know, who's created the games. You figure it out way too easily.
I hate that in films. I hate it when you figure out, like, the bad guy, the antagonist really quickly.
Yeah, you really can. You can with Spiral. And I think also a lot of people struggle to take Chris Rock. I love Chris Rock, but even I've struggled to take him seriously in this movie. Samuel L. Jackson did a brilliant job, as he always does. But the movie, it moves really fast. You know, it's quite fast-paced. And it's not as in, oh, it's too fast for you to figure out. The fact that this film doesn't drag on, but you, so early on you figure it out, and just like, that was underwhelming. Absolutely underwhelming. But I have no favourite horror movie of 2021, and I feel like that's sad. Hopefully I will catch up on lots of films in 2022 from 2021. Hopefully I will force myself to go through not every film that was released in 2021, because God knows, worldwide, internationally, there'd be too many films to watch. But, you know, most of the well-known films, you know, what you see advertised, I will force myself to watch so many of them. And maybe I will find a favourite, but I think it's unlikely. I really do. Movies, they're just not hitting.
There's some films that I would happily go back and watch again.
Like what? What movie would you? What movie would you gladly watch again and pay money?
Let's see, Bloodthirsty. The Power. Actually, I probably wouldn't pay to watch The Power, but I'd watch it again.
You'd watch it again if someone. You knew someone, they were like, oh, yeah, we're gonna watch a screening of this. You'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm up for that.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't pay money.
Probably not.
I have got to admit, because there is a movie that I didn't realise had come out called Psycho Goreman.
Yes, I've been meaning to watch that thing, and it actually looks really good.
It looks great, but I feel like it's going to be terrible. But because I haven't seen a trailer for it, because I haven't seen this movie, I can't say that I like it, and I can't say I don't like it. It wasn't even on my radar. I saw so many trailers last year. I was always checking trailers, finding movies to watch, and it wasn't on my radar, so I didn't even know about this movie until the beginning of 2022. But it looks really the costume design and the effects, it really does remind me of Japanese kind of B movies. That's what it reminds me of like the character design. It's like it's something out of a comic book. So it does look promising, but I'm so disappointed with 2021. But I don't know what to expect. But hopefully it will be good. It's me, like, really, really, like, come on, modern films, come on. You can do better.
Oh, there's so many of you. Why can't you do something good?
Yeah, because everything is getting overdone. I mean, we've got June, haven't we? Goddamn movie about a sand worm. And I'm just like, come on, how many creature movies, you know? I mean, we've had... Oh, I mean, not this year so much. Not say this year. 2021. But, like, just over the years, there's just been so many films like that. You know, like Tremors and, yeah, bloody terrible films like Sharknado and...
Oh, fucking hell. I forgot about that film. I forgot that film franchise exists.
I mean, there's the film I definitely did not watch, and I think it's called Lamb. And it looks like, it reminds me of that bloody Walrus film. That's how it looks. And I'm like, oh no, not another human animal.
Tusk, that's the film, it was called Tusk.
Tusk, that's it. The bloody Walrus guy. And they've now got a bloody lamb movie. And it's not about natural lambs, casual, oh, this is the farmer and the lambs are being hunted kind of thing. But no, they had to take it a step further and just make a creepy lamb person and make a weird story about it, you know. And then you've got antlers and it's...
There's so many different like myths and legends that really, I think, when it comes to like the Wendigo thing, yeah, it's a creepy creature. But there's so many other ones that you could do that would probably make things more interesting.
Yeah. Last Night in Soho is nice, but I really don't consider it a horror.
No, I don't either. Really don't. I see it as more of a, like, almost like a stylized supernatural movie. I don't see it as an actual horror film.
It's almost like a drama, really.
Hmm.
Like, it's great in its own sense, but I'm just like, can we call it a horror? Why are they calling it a horror movie? I mean, I think it's a great movie, but is it? I mean, technically, yeah, it's a horror. It doesn't feel like a horror movie, that's for sure. That is, I'm just like, yeah, just because of the whole paranormal thing, I'm just like, can we not call it a horror movie? It's a great movie, but is it a horror?
No, I wouldn't put it in the horror category. I mean, I absolutely love the style of it. I like the motifs behind the characters. And it's just, it's nice to see that the perspective of someone in that time era, trying to actually get through into like singing and like the whole dancing as well.
Sorry to interrupt you.
I feel that it's it explains that's how easily people can get trapped and put into situations where they are going to be manipulated, they're going to be thrown into situations that they're not comfortable with, and then essentially like they're not going to be, you know, like people that get kidnapped and put into like the red light district and things like that. Like it happens so often, but back then it was so
unheard of.
Yeah, no one spoke out about that side of things, but at the same time it was very prevalent, and it probably is still to this day, where people are kind of misled that that's something that they're going to have like this glamorous life, but they're going to be thrown into this horrible world where they're going to be exploited physically.
Yeah, it's absolutely terrible, but it does still happen. But I feel like it's more of a psychological film.
Oh, definitely.
I feel like to call it a horror really minimalizes the story of the movie, like the theme of it. I just feel like it's much deeper than just a horror film. You know, horrors, you know, they're meant to be scary, and I feel like it's not scary. The situation may be scary, but I don't feel like it's a scary movie. It really is not a scary movie. It's an interesting movie. It gets you thinking. You know, there is a bit of shock value, but, you know, I just wouldn't call it a horror.
No. I mean, I think that there were some good films, but that, like, in 2021, but the endings caused it to kind of lack in a lot of ways. Like when I watched the Power, which is like a supernatural film in the 1930s, I want to say.
Yeah.
And I mean, first hour and 10 minutes, absolutely fantastic. Like it was eerie, it was creepy. The music in it was really nice, but it got to the last 20 minutes of the film, and I kind of sussed who the bad guy was.
Yeah.
About halfway through the film. I mean, it's a little subtle, but it's when you sort of like really think about the situation and you're kind of like, oh, now I see it. I get it now.
Yeah.
But as soon as it hit like the last 20 minutes, when it gets brought into like a daylight setting and then how they defeat the antagonist, it was just a bit like, you've lost me. Like, I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but first hour and 10 minutes, I'll hardly recommend. But that ending, I think, could have been a bit better. Like something that if they kept it going on throughout the night.
Yeah.
Instead of bringing it into like the next morning, then I think it would have been really good. But the fact that they kind of had like a few hours time jump, it just put me off it.
Yeah, I feel like it's just an easy escape, isn't it? An easy ending. I feel like with films, I feel like for it to be successful, I feel like the ending should be the most important part of the film, opposed to the beginning. I feel like the ending really is, I mean, it's what makes people want to, you know, either watch it again or see another movie by the director, by the writer, you know. And it's just like, oh, the movie was great until, you know, a certain amount of time. And it's just like, oh, well, it's not really a great movie. It would have been great, but, you know, they kind of just gave up in the end. All the effort went out the window.
I'm going to class this as, it's a trilogy, but I'm going to class it all as one film. I really liked Fear Street.
Fear Street, I saw about that, isn't it? I know there's Pearl, I think, Fear Street 1994 and 1978, which is, for me, because I haven't watched them, it's obviously very weird that part two is 1978 and part one is 1994. But hey, wait, we're going back in time to the 70s?
Yeah, I mean, if you watch it, you understand why it's set like that. I mean, the third one is set in 1666, so...
Yeah. Is it good, though?
I really enjoyed it. It was a good story. Each movie had its own separate story in itself as well, and different characters.
Yeah.
But it had that really nice... The punchline to certain things were really good. Character chemistry was interesting. The characters were fleshed out. I mean, it had resourceful lesbians in it, for crying out loud. I mean, that was enough to make me happy.
Well, the thing is with anthology, it's just you don't know what to expect, do you? It can be hit and miss. It really can. This is great. And it's like, this sucks. This was okay, but this was really great. This is like what to expect when watching an anthology. It's like, don't know. You really don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah, I mean, it really surprised me because in each one of those in that trilogy, there was at least one death that has stuck with me throughout each one of them.
Yeah. Is there any connection in it?
Yes, they're all connected via the town that the main characters live in. So it's kind of like a curse by a witch, and that's kind of like the connection.
All right, okay. Because that's always nice when anthologies, there's actually connection rather than them just being completely random stories.
Yeah. I mean, it's heavily connected through that sort of, through the witch and everything like that. I mean, in the first one you see... Like 90s style sort of like, oh, this is because of the curse, we're in deep shit. What we need to find out how to stop it because it's literally killing our loved ones. In 78, you kind of see it happen in a camp setting where younger teenagers are stuck in a situation where someone's running around with an axe.
Yeah.
But they see where the... apparently the witch had created the curse in the first place.
Yeah.
And then, but with 1666, you see the what actually happened and what actually caused the curse and what's actually set things into motion.
Yeah.
And it kind of, it's really interesting. It's intricate because it's, it makes you, it does make references to other films, but it does make you kind of think, oh, this is what happened. This is actually what set this off. These are the people that actually caused these events to kick off.
Yeah, it gets you interested. You'll want to watch more.
Exactly. And I'm really glad because I think they did say after these were made, because they were so popular online. I think they're thinking about releasing more films in that kind of style. And I'm like, oh, yes, good.
Well, it makes me feel a little bit more positive about 2021, but I feel like when we compare it to other years, I feel like so many movies lack in comparison. If you just compare them, and I feel like I was disappointed last year, but by the end of the year, I was just like, for the first time, I don't have a favourite horror movie this year. And it was really surprising.
One film that I did actually really enjoy, and me and the missus did say I'd like to watch that again, was Bloodthirsty.
Bloodthirsty. I'm trying to... I've heard of the title. I actually have heard of it. I'm just trying to remember the trailer.
It's a singer going out in the... in the middle of nowhere, going to a producer's house to record a second album, and she has hallucinations that she's turning into some sort of animal, and she's actually a werewolf, and all sorts of different things happen. It's I like the film because there's like three main characters and Yeah, I think I have.
I think it's Tina Turner. Yeah, because isn't the producer proper sketchy?
Yeah.
I've seen the trailer for that now. Yeah. Oh, I've got to watch that. I haven't seen it. I saw the trailer for it, but I didn't. It didn't get me excited. I thought, you know, I can kind of see where we're going with this story. I feel like for people who are getting into horror movies, do not start with anything that came out in 2021 as first few movies. I'm just like, you need to take it, you know, a little bit retro first, and then maybe some 90s, you know, movies, and then the early 2000s. But for 2021, I feel like for people really into horror movies, I feel like, well, there's been some okay movies, but I don't feel like 2021 was the best year for movies coming out. I feel like 2019, we had quite a few good ones, and then obviously 2020 as well, quite a few, you know, movies that's already been filmed before COVID hit. So it was just waiting to release them, really. Because a lot of things got pushed back because, obviously, we couldn't go to cinemas and had to figure out, well, hey, how are we going to release these movies for the public to see? But I think filming movies during COVID, I feel like it's probably an extremely difficult task. And I feel like maybe this is why some of these films feel like they're a bit rushed.
Not trying to figure out how to social distance, figure out where you can get a deal where you can stream it to people's homes and actually get some money back and get some form of profit from doing the film itself, and making sure that, like, no one catches anything while we're still making the film. And there's a lot of risk and a lot of hoops you have to jump through.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. And because of that, I feel like people probably, I feel like maybe a lot of movies and scripts, you know, were dropped probably due to finances. I mean, the amount of people who got very, very sick with COVID and they've recovered. But, you know, the symptoms of being, you know, some people being hospitalized. And it's almost like some symptoms people have after all of the recovery is that they've permanently kind of fucked their bodies, immune systems. It's fucked.
Yeah, like the people that can't walk like 50 metres on their own, the ones that can't smell or taste anything.
Yeah.
I
have a friend and she had COVID. And, you know, she did the whole, had to go in intensive care, you know. And she is still not really able to go out, you know. And she's, obviously, when I say she's in a wheelchair, I don't mean she has, you know, lost feeling of her leg. She hasn't, you know, had to have them amputated, anything like that. But her body is just that weak. And you know, her mobility is not great. And it's just that she's too high risk to just be walking around, and, you know, it affects people because of working as well. So with that, and that's just one person, and it's just the amount of people, the millions of people that is affected, and it's affected their families as well. It's just everything gets set back. It's a chain reaction, isn't it? It's a domino effect. Yeah, it affects this person and it affects everyone around them.
We had a few instances at my old job where one person, I think, she caught it. The second time she showed symptoms of it, but I don't think she actually had it.
Yeah.
And then we had someone else that had tested positive, and then anyone that worked with that person on that day had to, like, get tested and things.
Yeah. Imagine being on set and then finding someone on set tested positive for COVID. That must be an it could shut down production for people. It's absolutely insane. And I feel like, yeah, we are going to have a lot less movies. I feel like we're definitely going to have a lot less good quality films as well. Not always necessarily due to COVID. You know, I can't blame crappy writers and crappy actors, crappy directors. You know, can't give them an excuse, oh, well, it's COVID, so that's why the movie sucks. Because sometimes, you know, that has no effect. It's just a crap movie. But I do feel like we're not, you know, as society, well, not just society, but, you know, the world, everything's is slowed down because everything's a different process now. Everything has to be going through all these checks to make sure everyone's safe, everything's sanitary, checking who you've been around. It's just like, oh, so many people, you know, can't come in and edit. So if there's all the, you know, people working who are, that sets them back, sponsors, everything is, I feel like everything is tenfold more difficult thanks to COVID. Everything.
I felt that with a lot of things when it comes to COVID, like even if it's just like entering into your office building when you go to work, or if you're on a film set, or, you know, going to a restaurant, I'm feel quite strict about it. That really, I'm a firm believer that people should have a temperature checked at the door before they even come into the building.
But so many people, like, you've got to think about extras. Everyone having to, you know, test before coming on set. That must, you know, the amount of limited resources now, I feel, with movies is a lot more limited. So I feel like because of that, people are going, okay, let's do this. Everything seems to be on a smaller scale. I feel like they're trying to do a lot more movies where it involves a lot less characters. I feel like it does influence directors and writers. It's like, okay, there's a limit on what we can do now because of how the world is. Like, I feel like people aren't thinking, hey, let's do the impossible. Now they're thinking, well, okay, due to the situation, we're probably not going to be able to do this.
I think that it has made things difficult for movies that require a lot of actors.
Yeah.
But when it comes to, like, if it's like an indie film set and you only need like a handful of people involved, it's kind of made it easier because it means that really they've got less competition when it comes to putting them on like Netflix or Amazon Prime.
Exactly. Exactly, but, you know, high-budget films are taking longer because they're taking so long to make because of all the precautions now, but for everyone's safety.
Like the Tom Cruise thing when he was on set and people weren't, like, 2 metres apart and he was, like, having a go at them for it.
Oh, I didn't know about that. I'm not a big on Tom Cruise myself. I'm not really, I'm not sure the last film he did, so... I don't know what film that is, but I can believe that.
I don't know either. It got leaked through the media that really he was literally like, why are you not farther apart? It's just kind of like, I kind of don't blame him. Because yeah. I think there needs to be more people. Like, if you're on set, you need to be really strict with these things.
Yeah.
But it's what bothers me is the fact that it's not like the people that are creating the film by the actual artistic situation behind the cameras. It's the fact that it's an actor that is like, the fuck are you doing?
yeah. But, you know, actors also, you know, there's a lot of, you know, they have to have a certain amount of ego, don't they, to be an actor. I feel like a lot of them will speak out and shit pissing them off.
That's a good point, actually. I didn't think about that. It's like, oh, yeah. Actors, they do have an ego sometimes.
They really do. I mean, it's the whole wanting to be a star, you know. Not all, but, you know, a lot of successful actors, a lot of them, they, you know, especially the men, can be quite outspoken. Especially if they're, you know, the right at the top, A-list stars, I feel like they're more likely to see something than someone who's less well known, less, you know, doesn't get paid as much.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got like a good fan base behind you, you get paid a lot, and you're well known in quite a few different high budget films, you're more likely to be to dig your heels in if you see something you don't like.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, they have an opportunity to use their voice, don't they? Some choose not to, but some do. I mean, Tom Cruise voicing whatever opinion he has, I can believe that he does it, because he does it with everything else, so why not? But yeah, I can imagine him losing. I would, when it comes to COVID, like, you know, everyone staying safe and following the rules, yeah. I mean, in that situation, I definitely agree with speaking up and saying, hey, you're not following the rules.
I had instances with that as well. Like, in my previous job, working with the general public, the amount of people that will try to stand really close to you, it's outstanding. And it's just kind of like, the amount of times I would actually have to move back. There was one person I actually have to move back away from them 3 times. And they kept walking towards me each time I did it.
Yeah.
To the point where I actually stood in front of them and said, sorry, can you keep your distance from me? I have had to move because you have made me uncomfortable by being within my personal space.
Yeah, yeah. People really, really do have made personal space. And I feel like with what's going on now, it couldn't be the worst time to have someone in your face with their little fibres, you know, like water droplets coming out of their mouth as they speak. Oh no, I do feel sorry for people where they're in a, you know, that they're employed in a place and they have to deal with the general public invading their personal space, and it's a little bit hard to speak up because they don't want to be rude and they want to get in trouble at work.
There were some, oh god, it was shocking just what we had to deal with. And yet, yeah, working in retail, it was one of those jobs where not only did you get the blunt end of the stick when it came to having customers' frustrations thrown at you during busy periods, but throw COVID into it and people wearing masks and getting within your personal space and shops being overcrowded, it was anxiety-inducing.
Yeah. I feel like maybe they should make a horror movie about working in retail. Just someone finally losing the straw, it's the last straw, and they just lose their shit. That would make a great, great movie, that would.
Like, I would watch that, and I would actually sympathise with the main character that kills people.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, I feel like, that would make a great, you know, a great movie where this person, you know, they're just doing their job and then they're in a situation where it's just like, okay, they're going to go rogue. They're going to, you know, they're really lose, have a breakdown. I know, a movie like that would be good, as a good psychological movie. If someone working in retail and it just turns into an absolute gore fest, I would watch the shit out of.
So would I. I would watch that. I would know so many people that would enjoy watching that and think, you know what, I can see myself doing this one day.
It's just like someone's at their limit. I feel like they could do it in a comical way, or they could do it in a really, really smart, emotional way, I'd say. You know, where it's, you know, really deep, where, you know, where they take you through, where you learn, you know, you get to know the character. Because, you know, not rather jump into it, but yeah, that was, I think, so many people worked in retail, they're like, yeah, that's how we'd be feeling. Someone's gonna get pushed too far. And I just think, yeah, with that and with what's going on now, I'm just like, that would make a brilliant movie. That would make a great horror movie. Why aren't they doing that? Why are we doing more, you know, bloody, there's a movie about, you know, this haunted folktale, you know, where, and we all get killed, or, you know, it's another cult that, you know, a film where it's essentially cults, then we've stumbled upon, and we're stuck on an island, we're stuck at we're stuck at, you know, this place we got stranded and, you know, these strangers let us in. It's always those kind of films. I'm tired of it. It's like, oh, yes. Like, let's do another one of these where, you know, this young group of, young people end up, you know, getting murdered. Like, yeah, we've not seen enough of those. they need to start doing is just looking in at video games and maybe seeing what they could do there with the horror movies, but not Resident Evil, because that already happened. Like, they have that covered. They're already doing all those movies.
It's difficult to do horror movie, it's a bit horror movies based on games, because there's so much lore behind a lot of them. It's like trying to cram that into a film. It's very difficult.
Yeah.
That and not pissing off the entire fan base in the process.
Yeah. It's incredibly difficult. But I'm just like, yeah, but there's so much that you could get inspiration from. I don't know. We'll have to see what 2022 brings. You know, maybe this will be the year for horror movies. Maybe. We've just started the year. So, you know, I'm trying to be optimistic. Maybe 2022 will be the year for horror movies. For something great.
Just one magnificent, like, magnum opus.
just something. I just need something.
Make this year worthwhile.
Yeah, they need to. They really do. I'm just like, come on. Make something that's going to, you know, kick all the Marvel movies off. Just make something, you know. Make something that I will be able to really remember for the year. Something that stands out, what makes me think this was 2022. This made the year. This movie made this year.
I just want a horror film that's got an original storyline.
Yeah.
Has a good style. Actual characters that I can root for. Not only that, but a decent ending as well.
And also a film that does all the most exciting bits not in the trailer. Like, that's what I would really like. Is, you know, don't put all the best bits in the fucking trailer. You do that, there's no point of me watching the movie.
God, I hate it when they do that, because it's like, it's just like, you might as well just be watching a TikTok rendered down version of the film, and that's it. Yeah. Like, literally in the setting of a TikTok video, and that's it.
Yeah, it's just like, done. Like, okay, so we know what happens here. I mean, was it Until Death Do Us Part with Megan Fox in? Looks good, but I'm pretty sure all the most, you know, the most exciting scenes, I'm pretty sure I've seen those from the trailer. Like, I don't get how they're going to top that. You know, her dragging her husband's dead body, you know, her trying to survive, you know, Saw style. I don't, you know, I'm like, is it even worth me watching the movie? I mean, all I'd be watching is to see if she manages to get away and survive.
Yeah, see if she keeps her hand or not.
Oh, dear. Yeah, that's probably, well, she just drags, well, you see from the trailer, she's just dragging him around, which is in itself quite amusing, but still, I'm just like, oh, God.
Imagine if they set that in the UK though, like instead of dragging the body around, like you try and drag his, like, the person's body into the shed and put them into a wheelbarrow and just do it that way.
Or you could just cut the dead person off you because they're already dead, but it's not going to hurt them.
Yeah, but it's supposedly this is going to sound like I've done this before, but apparently it's very difficult to cut through bone.
Yeah, you have to snap it first.
Yeah. Anyone that is actually going to get stuck in a situation where they are tied to another body, snap the bone.
Yeah, right. If you've butchered me, I tend to, if you go near a joint and you snap it up through the bone, you can cut between, because you've snapped the cartilage in the joint. Rather than that, I wouldn't have the stomach for it, that's for sure. But I just know from me, you know, if you at least with a joint. As for human, you know, cutting through bone, I don't know. I don't know what tools you would need for that. Haven't got any medical training, so haven't got a clue there. But I know if you're butchering meat, you know, if you break If you snap the, but you know, snap everything, it's a lot easier to just cut through. You don't even have to cut through the bone. But I'm just saying, if that was me, I'm not going to cut my hand off or my foot off if I'm attached to someone. If they're already dead and I'm trying to survive, I'm just saying it makes more sense to cut theirs. They're not going to feel it.
Yeah, but what if the idiot that's caused you to be in that predicament has taken out like all the sharp objects away so you have nothing?
Oh no, there is. I can't remember, but there is things that you could use, you know. But yeah, I mean, I understand panicking and stuff, but I'm just like, yeah, I wouldn't be, you know, dragging this body. No chance to escape. It's just ridiculous. It's just, yeah, the whole story is just. I just feel like they thought of a good title and they just wrote a film around the title. And I was like, Megan Fox was hot. Let's just there. The movie's done.
I like that she's in a more serious role, though.
It is hard to take her serious and like dragging. I can't, but that's just my sense of humour with horror movies.
You're dragging around like this this rag doll of a human being the entire time.
Yeah, it's my husband. Oh dear, but yeah. Oh, but no, there's nothing. There's nothing really stood out for me. That I've seen. That I've seen trailers for, but I will. I will get out of my way, you know, and try and force myself to watch, you know, some more movies from 2021. And there are a few that I, you know, I found out. Just beginning of this year that I hadn't seen the trailers for, I hadn't seen any advertisements for, and I will be checking those out. But the year was over, you know, it was underwhelming rather than overwhelming. It was underwhelming.
If I see any that I think, oh, Leanna would like this one, even if it's just to make you giggle, I'll let you know about it.
Yeah, there's some, you know, I like different horror movies for different things, but some are just, it's like, oh, we're just doing this when I get this. Some movies, it's like, once you've seen one, you've seen everyone. It's like watching a werewolf movie. I'm just like, when it comes to werewolf movies, everyone's just interested on how bad the transformation's going to be honest. When it comes to werewolves, I feel, it's just like, how bad is the transformation going to be?
Is it going to be full CGI? It's going to be like, do you actually see the transformation? Doesn't look realistic, and it's just kind of like, oh dear God.
Is it going to look like a weird rubber dog soul? Silicon mesh? Those are always funny. A really, really bad transformation. Like, not, I mean, special effects. The CGI ones, I'm just like, I've seen enough bad ones. I don't need to see any more. But when it comes to the special effects makeup and the transformations, and you know where they're bad, but it's quite funny. Like, at least that has some entertainment value. But yeah, I feel like that's what we're at with werewolf movies is the transformation. Like, how bad is it going to be? What we're working with? No one's really interested in the story, I think. I mean, when I say no one's interested in the story, of course, everyone wants, you know, the story movie they're watching to be good. But essentially, I feel like people, when they watch werewolf movies, it is just, you know, a lot of it is going to be judged on how good it is, like the CGI or the special effects makeup. I feel it's all make or break with the transformation.
There are some transformation scenes that are just fucking god awful.
And sometimes I'm like, those movies are worth watching, not necessarily the whole movie, but that, you know, clips from movies. I'm just like, sometimes it's worth watching just for the transformation. You know, other stuff, other movies, you know, vampires and stuff like that. You know, they're still essentially human forms, so it's just like, okay. And the same with zombies. It's just like, oh, transformation, yeah. It's, you know, but with werewolves, I feel like it's a bit more difficult.
Yeah, I don't know what I prefer more. A lot of the time, I like it when the werewolves look still have a look of humanity to them, but I like it when they're covered in hair as well.
That's terrible. I mean, I like the werewolves in Underworld, you know, the lichens, as they call them.
Yeah, I like the practical suits that they had to wear in the first two films. After that, it was mostly CGI, yeah. And that pissed me off.
Yeah, the CGI was terrible, but in the first couple of films, that I was just like, that's brilliant. That's how I would like to see werewolves, you know. But yeah, and then you've got stuff like the CGI in the Twilight movies. But it's just like, it's a werewolf and then he's just a wolf. I'm just like, he can't do that. I'm just like, he doesn't. Oh my god.
It's just a giant wolf on roids, and that's literally it.
I'm just like, that just looks like an American Akita. I'm just like, I'm sorry. I'm just like, they've just got him, I'm just like, his transformation, like, and then the end result, I'm just like, how did they get there? It's like, oh yeah, looks like a werewolf. Now it just looks like a wolf. Like, they just switched him out. Like, yeah, that'll do now.
I do, don't.
Yeah. I'm just like, nah, I don't know. I'm just like, if they're going to do werewolf movies, I feel like maybe they should just do a whole animated one rather than trying to do it with real humans and CGI and shit and special effects makeup. I'm just like, just fucking do a 3D animated movie, like Final Fantasy style. I feel like that would be better. At least everyone would kind of, you know, have that same kind of feel. It rather than, oh look, it's a real human and then a CGI wolf.
Yeah, I can't stand CGI werewolves. It throws me out of the film so quickly.
Just like, oh look at that, all that airbrushed fur. But yeah, that's not really how it works. But yeah, I feel like they're not big. A lot of people are not big on the old werewolf movies because of how terrible CGI is. I feel like it's a dying, you know, there's only so many years you get to see they do a new werewolf movie, and a lot of the time they're just rubbish. Either, you know, the effects are rubbish or it's just boring.
And there's a couple of werewolf films that I like. I mean, like the Bloodthirsty, the classic American Werewolf in London, a film called Wolves that has Jason Momoa involved. I like the style of the werewolves in that one, but I don't like the fact that their human personalities are quite prevalent, even as a werewolf.
But I'm just like, if you compare the amount of films made about werewolves compared to other type of, you know, creatures like zombies and vampires, it's just like this. You know, there's not a big corporate really, is there? They only make so many because it's very hard to do, you know, a good one. I feel like for them to make vampires, it's quite easy. I mean, a lot of the time it's just contact lenses and makeup, isn't it?
Yeah, contact lenses, make them a bit pale and put some fangs in the mouth and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, it can be done really well. I mean, it's not me shitting because I love vampires, but you know, it's a lot more simple to do than werewolf.
Oh, definitely.
And I feel like, you know, the stories are probably, because they're a little bit more human, you know, it's just, you know, they're just bloodthirsty humans, essentially. So it's very easy for them to write stories, isn't it? Because essentially they're just taking the human element into account and then just putting it, okay, human element, vampire situation. You can pretty much do anything vampire. It's just, you know, you just take the human, you know, whatever human experience and just put vampire onto it and it's okay. Just add the rules of being a vampire to it. You've got a movie.
I'm curious. Some vampire films, they usually not just bite the neck. Other times they can bite anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm curious. Do they? No one has, I don't think anyone's really said that, done this in a film, but has a vampire ever gone for the menstrual blood for convenience if they're dating someone.
They've gone for the what blood?
Period blood, like menstrual blood.
They don't have menstruate though, remember? That's why.
No. I mean, if they like dated a human.
Yeah. Yeah, but it wouldn't be fresh blood. They like the blood to be inside of the body, don't they? And technically, when you have your period, once it leaves your, you know, fallopian tubes and everything, it's not fresh, is it? They like it to get straight, direct out of the veins in the movies, vampires. So I'd say that's probably why.
Maybe. I mean, in Daybreakers, they farm the blood through people and put them in bags and just, like, put them in, like, the coffee and things like that. But I don't know.
Yeah, but it's when they're, like, when you do blood transfusion, it's not exposed to oxygen, is it? So, and the oxygen affects the taste of the blood, and that's why the vampires, you know, they like fresh blood rather than just, say, you know, a bit out of a hand leaked into a cup. Essentially, the oxygen spoils the blood because, you know, it starts all evaporating, doesn't it, as well? So, yeah, there'll be lots of reasons. Obviously, I find it hilarious to find a bloody vampire, bloody going through someone's bin at the sanitary towel or something. I find that hilarious, but I feel like that's something you'd see in that TV show In the Shadows, which is hilarious. But I feel like you'd have to definitely do that in a comedy movie.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, because something like that, you could easily make a joke about, like, eating out and things like that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. But no, that is, make my stomach turn just thinking of that.
I love how that kind of like a random thought has turned into like an interesting evaluation of why vampires wouldn't eat someone out on the periods.
I mean, I'm not saying they wouldn't do that. I'm just saying the reason I think, you know, they don't tend to go for that is because they want fresh blood out of the veins. You know, a lot of people don't do on the necks, obviously the necks, you know, in the movies and stuff, the neck is exposed and obviously there's a lot of arteries, a lot of vital organs right there. It's a great place to get a large amount of blood, isn't it? Mm. I mean, just think about how easy your veins collapse on your wrist. Not a good place to get blood for a vampire, is it? Got a bigger supply in your neck.
Well, hopefully this year will be a better year for horror films than last year.
Oh, definitely. I really do hope so. Looking forward to the trailers of 2022. I am looking forward to the next few months. Next few months to start bringing trailers out for horror movies. I will be right there searching for and waiting, seeing what's gonna be different. Maybe something exciting will happen. Maybe not.
And I'm looking forward to like all the teen slashers, the supernatural films, monster movies. I'm looking forward to seeing that what creatives come out with this year in terms of like imaginative storylines. I don't want to see remakes.
No, definitely not. I would like to see lots of horror TV shows though. That would be great. Mm. That's always nice to have like a horror-based TV program to binge. That's also welcome, not just films, but would also welcome as well. That would be great. I would love that.
I don't mind films that are like actual continuations from from where things have left off, the new Scream movie that's coming out this year. But remakes, I can't stand them anymore. It's just, unless it's done really well and it respects the original, I can't watch it and I can't sit down and enjoy the film.
No, I'm exactly the same. And that's why I was just like, Wrong Turn. Because with Wrong Turn, they did great because they just added on. Whereas this is the remake, and I'm just like, they don't need to remake it. They could just do another Wrong Turn movie with a just completely different story. But yeah, you know, everyone has different tastes, you know. But, you know, the things they changed, a lot of the things they changed about it is the things I actually liked the movie for. I like those old camp, you know. I like looking back at movies by the year that they were made and being like, oh yeah, in this, you know, this time era, you know, this is what movies were like, and it's get a nice nostalgic feel for it. It's just like with 80s movies, you can tell a lot of them are from the 80s. You can tell year they're made.
I'm looking forward where I can get to like the, like where I can become like an AOP and literally just tell people like back in my day, horror films used to get banned because they were that good.
Oh yeah, I think people will be very desensitized, won't they? That, or maybe they'll be oversensitive, actually. I don't know. I don't know where the future's taking us, but I'm hoping this year it takes us somewhere better.
Definitely. But yeah. Yeah, hopefully we'll do this again soon. Hopefully next time it won't be too long between us doing episodes together again.
Oh yeah, definitely. I enjoy talking. Oh, what was it? Well, you know me. I love to chew everyone's ear off. I do love my horrors. There's always a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you as well. Just having a good giggle about these things. It's just kind of like, oh God, yes.
two oldies moaning. We're either moaning or too excited. but there's nothing wrong with being passionate about horror now, is there?
Exactly. It's a bit of all sorts for everyone, whether it's a good movie, a bad movie, fantastic one, or something you just put on as like a feel-good movie, thinking, you know what, I'm glad I'm not these idiots going in the woods. I feel a bit better about my day.
Exactly. And sometimes it's good to just have a good old familiar one in the background. A good old trusted, hey, I remember watching this back in the day. I remember, and it's, yeah, some of them, even though they're horror, they are feel-good movies, aren't they?
Exactly. Like, just have it on in the background, just listen to the wonderful music of John Carpenter, or have a horror film where a bunch of teenagers get slashed a bit in a camp or in a high school, and you can just enjoy a nice morning coffee as you watch some teenagers make some bad decisions, and you watch the final goal defeat the bad guy.
Yeah, the final goal, just, you know, that one girl, always the brunette, the quiet brunette girl, take on the big old serial killer.
The quiet brunette, she's only the final girl, or she turns out to be the bad guy all along.
it's always that way, isn't it? Like, oh, come on. I feel like you're going to be like Jamie Lee Curtis, just like, yeah. Just like Michael Myers, he also doesn't die.
Oh, God. I'd love it if they had, like, a redhead as a final girl.
Oh, God, no.
Why not? Ooh,
that's terrifying. That's just terrifying. That is. Oh, God, I just pictured my cousin. And I'm like, oh, bloody hell. Like, yeah, with her personality, she would bloody survive. She'd bloody whip the bloody serial killer's off. Bloody redhead. Sorry.
Yeah, just imagine a female, like, Ed Sheeran running out of serial killer with a knife.
Ed Sheeran running, oh, bloody hell. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's something I could... All I've got in my head is just Ed Sheeran when a wig, you know, running out of serial killer. I could dream.
Ah! God.
that would be great. No, that's something they've not done in a while, where they've got a load of celebrities in a movie. I'm just like, yeah, why don't they do one of those where they just kill loads of celebrities in the movie? I'm like, yeah, it would satisfy me. Could you imagine? I would absolutely love that. Like, and I don't even necessarily mean actors. I'm just saying, if they did like a comedy, like they used to, like, yeah, could you just imagine that? Because that would be great.
I'd like it too.
Like, oh yeah, so, you know, Elton John and...
God, Elton John in a horror movie.
Maybe Tom Hiddleston and Kim Kardashian.
Fucking hell.
You know, Piers Morgan, you know, it's just loads of Adam Sandler, like just loads of random people you just wouldn't imagine being, you know, in a movie together. You know, obviously Samuel L. Jackson's got to be in it, but...
Yeah, he has to shout motherfucker at some point.
Yeah. You know, Kevin Hart and stuff. It's just like, oh, God. Yeah. Oh, God. No, I got to stop. Might give someone $1 million idea. Probably not. But, you know, just like, wait, stop myself. But, yeah, that would be cool. That could be done. That could be done well. That would be amusing. Just having them play themselves and they all get fucking killed like in hilarious ways. I would love that. But yeah, Ed Sheeran with Michael Myers mask on. Oh.
I love how we've just kind of carried on and actually came up with an idea for film.
Yeah, because I've just got Kevin Hart just screaming in a closet, like, high-pitched. Ah! And I'm just like, oh, God. I was like, yeah.
God, I'd love it if he was, like, the final character.
What, you mean, like, where he's wearing, like, a mask? Like, you think the final character is this white brunette girl, young teenage girl, and he just, takes the rubber mask, slips the mask off, and it's, like, Kevin Hart. And it's like, you thought I was dead, bitch. yeah, that would be fucking funny. Yeah. Oh god, I just had enough. Yeah, my mind's going all like, yeah, lots of scenarios I could think of. Scenarios where it's really funny. Oh dear.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to end this episode before we start writing a script and a screenplay.
Definitely.
But yeah, so goodbye for this week, people. All the monsters. I hope you enjoy yourself. And yeah, see you next time. Stay safe and stay warm. So yeah, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Caffeinated Monsters. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Baker, Pocket Cast, Anchor and Spotify. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. We also have a Redbubble store as well if you're interested in some merch. You can buy us a coffee on Ko-fi. We also have a Discord server as well, and you can find us on Patreon. If you're feeling particularly fancy and you want some coffee, you can also get some Black Insomnia coffee through our Linktree link on our social media.
How can you do this to me? This is hurting my soul. This is Megath.